Are you talking?
I am. I mean, I wasn't. But where are you?
I'm in my living room.
With such a crisp white button-up?
Yeah, you know? Dressed up today. Trying to...
I mean, a short sleeve? That is a solid look.
Thank you very much. I'm pretending I'm on vacation with you.
I mean, yeah. Well, cheers, David Lee.
Cheers. What do you got in the glass?
I think it is a vodka pineapple.
What time of day and where are we?
In Cabo San Lucas, or not Cabo San Lucas, but Cabo, and it is, I think, 6:30.
Gotcha. 5:30 Pacific Standard Time for me. It's an evening show. It's a boozy show.
I mean, I'm sorry, everyone. They came for the boozy show last week. They're getting it this week.
You let them down last week.
I'm here.
How many cocktails have you had today?
Oh my goodness. Way too many.
Okay, so that's the disclaimer. And the other disclaimer is we actually couldn't find time to record this week. We somehow, out of the ether, stole this 20 minutes just to check in with listeners. It's not going to be a full show. It'll be abbreviated, but it might not be coherent anyways.
I mean, it'll be completely incoherent, but so happy to be here.
I'm doing a dirty, filthy, dirty martini to try to catch up with you.
How much olive juice do you throw into your dirty?
You know, if I had to give you a ratio, I would say maybe a fifth olive juice.
Okay.
It's a lot of olive juice.
Do you ever do your dirty with blue cheese? I mean, how far afield do you go in your olives?
I hand stuff the blue cheese into the olives. So I get the best blue cheese.
Yep.
My favorite is Cabrales, which is Spanish.
Yeah.
Hand stuff them. Then I put extra blue cheese in the bottom of the glass. And once I pour the martini in there, I mix in that cheese that I put at the bottom of the glass. So it's like milky filth.
I mean, this is the best drink that I've ever even heard mentioned. And I don't know how we haven't done, I don't know how I haven't made you make me this version of a martini. You're speaking my language.
Well, I will do it for you, but I use gin. I don't use vodka.
Okay. Well, if we could do a vodka one, I'm in.
Can we advertise what's going to happen for Surf Ranch? Because I could do it then.
Oh, yes. I mean, we should. I got to call that dude. That dude just sent me a hasty email of let's do this. So
is it premature to advertise?
It might be premature. That guy might be mad. And so I have to sort that out. I just finished yesterday, sent in edits for new book. So I've been like redlining book edit, which is any listener who wants to write a book, just don't do it. It's hard.
So while you're on vacation, do you actually, you're obviously working while you're there?
Oh, I mean, I don't ever stop working.
Yeah, that's a
bummer. I had to get book done yesterday. And getting book done is one thing. And then getting edits done is an entirely separate thing. So I had to get edits done. But that's, done now, which is why the state I'm in probably
is good.
The state I'm in.
Yeah. Enjoy it. Do you ever take a break from surf news?
No, never, never. Even, I mean, I feel bad for Beach Grit when I'm in this headspace just because it's less, but I'm perpetually hawking and looking and then taking breaks to do Beach Grit.
Yeah, I try to take breaks, but if you just open your phone, it's there in front of you. And I found that even if I miss a day or two, like if I'm actually on away from Wi-Fi or whatever in Zion or something, my DMs are full with all of our listeners sending me like Kelly Slater stories or the news or whatever. And so I know that I can always have that cash waiting for me that will catch me up immediately, you know?
But it's also stuff. That's the other thing. Hold on real quick. That's the other thing. It's always unfortunately, completely fascinating to me. Like, that's the stuff where I'm like, oh man, all of this is what I want to hear and get back to, is the pointless surf news.
Yeah, yeah. How are the waves in Cabo?
Awful, which is yeah, surfed a couple days, but it's been, thankfully, allowed me to actually finish book. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
If it was good, it would have been a lot harder. But they were so bad that it allowed me to finish.
Do you see any listeners in the lineup this time?
No, but I did see who's over for dinner tonight. My favorite snowboarder, Hannah Beeman. She's an epic, epic snowboarder, and paddling out, and saw her, and so she's over for dinner.
She was just randomly in the lineup.
Oh yeah, like
crazy.
Yeah, there's always a random in the lineup at Cabo.
I want to give a shout out to listener Colin, who I saw in the lineup. I don't know when, maybe last Sunday. And you know how we're giving away the Channel Islands Too Happy at the end of the month?
Yep.
I was riding my hand-shaped From Britt Merrick Too Happy, and I ran into a swimmer, a body surfer, and busted the fin box, like not out of the board, but like depressed it up into the board.
Busted it on him?
No, not on our listener, Colin, but Colin and I were talking, and then a set wave came, and it was a pretty junky day, but it was like the wave I was waiting for. And there's a body surfer, like a 15-year-old kid, swimming to try to get out because the set's coming, and I'm in perfect position, and he's right in my line. And I was like, you know what? If I try to bottom turn around him, I'm going to miss it because the thing was running. I'm going to miss the section. So I'm just going to go straight where he is. He knows to dive under me. You know what I mean?
Sure. He's a swimmer. He doesn't have a board.
He doesn't have a board. And I saw him catch a couple of waves previously. So I knew he knew what he was doing as a body surfer. But I've been in that situation even with a surfboard. And the key there is duck dive the surfer, not the wave. And you might duck dive the surfer and then kind of come up in the wave itself and get sucked back. But yeah, that's okay. But dude, this kid... Like, I'm committed to the line. And then I watch him ducking under and I'm thinking, crap, I don't think he's going deep enough or he's going too late, but I'm kind of committed to the line anyways. Fully connect with him, dude. Like, and even still, 5 days later or whatever, I have like a queasy feeling in my stomach about it. Cause I've grazed people before in the lineup, but I've never like fully connected like that, you know?
So you have the feeling when you go to sleep of hitting human flesh, like ricocheting through your body. Yeah.
Full stop, dude. Like my fins, full stop, me going over the handlebars and instantly just thinking, oh my God, that was such a mistake. He's going to be filleted for sure. You know?
Was he?
So, well, shockingly, no. So I come up and he and his buddy are like assessing the damage to his leg. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna have to swim this kid in on my board. It's gonna be a lawsuit. Like, oh no. I paddle straight up to him and he was like avoiding making eye contact with me. Cause he, I think, was maybe embarrassed or something. Or maybe he thought I was gonna confront him, like I was gonna be mad at him, but I wasn't. I was like, hey, are you okay? He goes, and he just shook it off. He's like, yeah, I'll be fine. I'm like, no. Like, are you bleeding? He's like, no, I'll be okay. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. So I didn't check his leg or anything like that. I just paddled over to Colin. And I was like, dude, I just fully connected with that kid. And I'm like, not convinced he's okay. He and his buddy went in. I ended up going in because my board, that fin got kind of depressed up. Like it fully blew out the glass. So I went in and I saw him walking up the beach and he did have a giant line on his calf. It somehow didn't lacerate the skin. Like it's not cut, but it was a giant welt, which would be a full on bruise later, and a line. So he just has leathery skin or something. I have no idea how it didn't cut him, but I still feel sick to my stomach, you know?
I mean, hitting a human, as much as we maybe joke, does not feel good when you actually do it.
I still feel queasy. It was crazy.
I mean, good on you though for not killing a kid. Like that's...
Dude, I dodged a bullet. Dodged a bullet because I honestly, even though like when I assessed the situation, I fully justified it to myself. I'm like, he knows what he's doing. This is my line. It's his job to get out of the way, and he knows how to get out of the way. I'm going. The moment I connected, I accepted all responsibility. I was just like, no, I fully should have just screwed the, like, given the wave away, you know, and, but it was such a crappy day and I hadn't had a good one. That was the one, you know?
How, what did Colin give you a pep talk after?
Colin was very kind, but no, he kind of commiserated with me. He wasn't like shaming me, but he also wasn't, you know, trying to pull me out of the depths of despair.
I mean, that's a rough one right there. Well, thankfully, good on you. So the bummer is, though, this is going to be in your mind forever, where you're going to blow multiple waves now. Not that any of them would be any good, but multiples are going to get blown just because I don't want that to happen again.
It's further evidence. I just need to not surf near people. Like, I generally don't surf the pier in Huntington, even though I surfed it for a decade straight. I don't surf it anymore because even though it's better, it's crowded. And this day it was almost pure crap everywhere. And then it was not quite crap there. So I paddled out near the pier and slowly kind of made my way towards it in unintentionally kind of. And at the pier, there's swimmers and there's just kids and there's tourists. And it was a bad choice on my part.
But this is the future, though. Olympics now.
I know.
Olympic surfing is locked for the next decade plus, which
I saw that
we are living through surfing's coming out of the apocalypse into a glorious boom. And where can anyone go to get away from that?
Nowhere.
Can't go to Cabo, tell you that.
Can't go to a wave pool. It's going to be crowded there.
No, well, everywhere.
Well, all of that is to say we're giving away a Too Happy for our tour subscribers.
But did you love it? Did you? I mean, it was worth it was worth virtually killing a kid for.
I want to get it fixed as quickly as possible. That often we've talked about it. I won't fix my boards because I have a bunch of others in the quiver. But this one, I really feel obligated to get fixed and ride immediately.
I mean, which is, I will say, a better recommendation for a board could not be had.
True.
Than,
very true.
Then not just like, okay, I got another board. Whatever. Oh, you know, bummer. That thing liked it, but bummer. If you want to get a board fixed and rewrite it, then that says something for that board.
Fully. Speaking of wave pools, Surf Ranch news, just or a couple of WSL topics. Rio is canceled, which
done.
I mean, that was already, we've been talking about that since the beginning of the year. That's not a big surprise.
But putting the press release out and burying that lead, clearly, I understand that the WSL does things the way they do, and corpo speak is a thing that it is, and this is important not to lead with the bad news and whatnot. But then burying that and then tagging it with the abundance of caution once again, where, yeah, I'm no corpo speak writer, but, like, using, can't you just say, like, with a thought for our
this is a fun game to play where is he drunk or is he frozen?
Yeah, oh man,
I heard something about an abundance of caution. That's all I heard.
I just don't understand how, if you're the World Surf League and you're putting out another press conference and you're the writer and you're tasked with using the phrase abundance of caution, like, you don't lean on the thesaurus to pick a different word for abundance and a different word for caution. A plethora of care. Yeah.
Well, Surf Ranch, unfortunately, is still running. Do you want to hear? There's a bunch of people that are out of the event. Would you like to hear who's replacing the injured?
Yes, please.
Mikey Wright will replace Chloe Andinos for his ankle injury. Liam O'Brien will replace John Florence, probably based on his performance at that last event. Lucas Vicente is going to replace Jordy Smith, who just had knee surgery.
So whoa.
Jordy Smith's knee surgery is news, and also Lucas Vicente is brand news. I've never even heard of him.
Is he Italian?
I have no clue.
This is odd to me.
I've got more.
You hear me?
Pat Kadauskas will replace Julian Wilson, Eli Hanneman will replace Michel Berez, and Nat Young and Michael Dunphy are the wild cards for the men's side.
Why? I feel that at this point in the weight pool game, there's got to be weirdos who we don't know of who are like blowing up their local weight pool, right?
Lucas Vicente, maybe.
I mean, he may be the one. He may be the kid who's out at Waco, like crushing it. How do they not throw skimboarders in there at a weight pool event?
Dude, I don't know what's going on anymore. This feels like we asked for a circus at some point. We're like, look, if it's going to be, if it's not going to be, you know, the best surfers in the world riding the best waves in the world, then you might as well just have do an American Gladiator style and have jousting in the pool and ramps or rail slides and all that sort of stuff. We asked for a circus. This is almost a circus.
Except for it's people I know, except for Lucas Vicente, which I'm going to hope that he's someone who's honest to goodness a wakeboarder who's out there.
Could be.
I mean, that's what I want to see. Like the rest of them I know. And yeah, Liam O'Brien is fine and Mikey Wright is boring at this point, right? Like, et cetera, et cetera. Lucas Vicente is the only one I'm interested in.
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre. Eli Hanneman, I'm glad to see in there because I think putting like rising stars is good, but I really don't think he's going to beat Gabriel, Italo, Felipe, or Griffin Colapinto. Looks like he might have a shot, you know?
Do you know for a fact yet if the air section got rebuilt for the end?
I don't know.
I heard that, I mean, that was rumored that they would redo the end section to make a little air thing.
Even the one
actually happens.
I have no idea, but the one that they tried a couple of years ago, it wasn't a proper air section, you know? Like it was a section instead of none, but it wasn't the same as like the freak peak at Waco or something like that.
Yeah, where you don't, I mean, you can get like one full row into the end, right?
Like you can rush at the whitewash and do a straight air or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So, but we can't reveal news yet, but Chaz and I may have boozy, we may be doing a boozy something in relation to something, something.
Hopefully. I've got to dial that in tomorrow, but yes, it's coming. I think it's gotta be surfer. I mean, the event is so dumb that it's begging for something like this.
If not, I'm simply not going to watch.
Oh, will you not though? Yeah.
If we're not doing our thing, I honestly, I remember getting up at 8 a.m. or whatever last time they ran that event to watch. I'm like, okay, cool. I have something to watch today. I turned it on. It was Soli Bailey on the first wave of the day. And he surfed it to a five. It took him 90 seconds or whatever to ride the whole wave. And he got a five. And I just thought, God, every clip I've ever seen of that wave of Surf Ranch on Instagram was more entertaining than what Soli Bailey just did. Do I need to watch 120 of these rides happen today for people that are going to be fighting out between fives and sevens, essentially, until Gabriel Medina gets in the water and then does a nine? Do I need to watch this? And the answer was unequivocally, hell no. Like, what's the latest season of a Netflix show? And that's what I'll be watching today.
So here is a question for you. If Gabriel Medina wins his... How many is he won in a row? Three? Four?
Yeah. Damn. He's won two, so this will be three.
Okay. Are you there or frozen?
Yeah, I'm here. No, you're good. I should just hold my position to freak you out. Like,
Oh, man. I literally had to jump to another position to try to find better Wi-Fi. But is this the end of Surf Ranch? If Gabriel Medina wins every one, well, they think, oh, okay, we built a wave that one dude wins and we can't do it again. We cannot have Gabriel Medina winning 15 of these things.
On the list of reasons they shouldn't have Surf Ranch on tour, that would be reason number 10. But yes, that would be the final reason to not have it.
Have you heard anyone excited for Surf Ranch?
No, not a single soul.
Any DM of like, you guys are jerks. This is actually super cool. No. I'll tell you why it's cool. It's, I know when to tune in. It's, you know, no waiting period, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I know when to show up. It's all, everybody gets the same chance on the same waves, et cetera. Nothing. I've never heard that either.
I've talked to professional pro surfers. I've talked to people that worked at the WSL. Everybody unequivocally is anti the idea. It's a business. It's their business interest to run it there, and it conflicts with the original stated goal of the business.
Are you worried that this kind of negative talk is going to wind us up on the lineup with the, or what's the new show? Dave Prodan. Yeah,
it's part of a lineup, but it's the break room.
The break room. Are you worried that, or no? Nobody's worried. Nobody's worried about ending up on the break room of this negative.
That is the least. No, I'm not worried in any way, shape, or form about that at all.
What was their beef with Stab? I honestly still don't understand that.
Did you read the article?
I read Derek's article, and I didn't listen, obviously, but I read Derek's.
I didn't listen either. It was a listener comment that they read, I guess, on air. I also didn't listen. But the listener comment was asking if there was a beef between Stab and the WSL. And the person from the WSL staff said, no, there is no beef. And then explained why there isn't a beef, I guess. And so Derek's question was more, I don't know. Derek's, I guess the commenters on Beach Grit were saying, I didn't even know there was a beef between WSL and Stab. What was that question even about? And it would have been a much more fitting question to have been about, is there a beef between Beach Grit and the WSL? But the WSL staffer's response to the question seemed like they were more addressing general haters on the internet more than they were
Stab. Okay. That makes more sense to me then. Thank you.
Yeah.
I was pondering that thinking, what are they even beginning to talk about? But that makes sense if they're just checked out enough from the conversation generally. And they were addressing then general, like, people not liking the content and then being frustrated with it.
Yeah. I've got a lot of new thoughts on this topic based on things that have developed in the last couple of weeks, but maybe we'll have it next. We'll have that conversation next week, sober at album when we have more time.
Okay. I was going to beg to launch into it, but you're probably right.
I mean, we can dance around it a little bit, but I haven't fully formed my thoughts yet, so I'd be apprehensive to deliver them half-baked.
No, let's go. Let's hit it hard next week in person.
Okay.
Because I think it's a broader conversation about a bigger topic, which will be fun.
It is, and the bigger topic is there's, I think, like, when I kind of got into podcasting, it was 2013, there was gatekeepers in the surf business, and there was, you know, a few brands that funded everything and very few magazines that had been around for decades and decades. And so you kind of had to start low on the rung in one of those environments and work your way up. And there was a rite of passage, and a lot of it was to speak favorably about these specific people, world champs or the brands or whatever it was. And so I was developing this kind of on the side, and it slowly grew and kind of subverted all of those traditional things. And meanwhile, there's been a couple of brands along the way that have done this as well. I won't mention them now. Maybe we will next week. But the legacy brands and entities have either gone out of business, gone bankrupt, or just lost tremendous market share. And a lot of their core clients that they had been slowly abandoning along the way, we fostered credibility with. And I say we collectively, meaning not only the podcast, but Beach Grit and some of these other brands. And so as we fostered credibility with those, I think the old gatekeepers who didn't ever adopt to this new model or adapt to the new model just kind of want to ignore what's happening over here, and they have animosity about it. And now I'm seeing a lot of indignance from that community. Like, first of all, overt ignorance to what's happening over here. And then secondly, an indignance to it. But it's like, that's such a bizarre response. Like, you can, one option for those, that legacy kind of, those legacy gatekeepers is leverage the conversations that are happening over here to help build your profile. You can engage in the conversations in certain ways. You can glean insights from those conversations in certain ways. You know, there's a lot of options, but to willfully ignore it and then secondly get angry about those things and just turn an angry back to all of the conversation when that minority has become the majority is just, it's bizarre and it's bad business, you know?
To me, the microcosm, oddly, the picture of it perfectly encapsulated for me is Jack Robinson surfing the box, right? Where you have something that everybody's aware of, everybody knows happening, does not get mentioned anywhere. And yeah, I've had conversations with people at the WSL about that specific incident. They were furious about it. And like, I was thinking, what are you talking about? Like, I mean, yeah, during the Margaret River contest, Jack Robinson paddling out, having a dead iPhone and recording himself, or he didn't record himself, but being recorded surfing the box. Everyone who, not everyone who mattered, but like so many people were like, this is the thing they wanted to do, right? Yeah. And so not to ever, like the fact that WSL never acknowledged that, how did they not grab a best of Jack Robinson pirate broadcast at the box clip?
No clue. And
but that's the, like, I mean, that's the issue now, right? Like, where I wonder, and I don't know how big the other audience is, but I just wonder, can we just topple the whole thing? Can we push and just topple the entire thing at this point?
I don't know, and I don't feel a need to do that in any way. I guess my thought is, like, if they're running a profitable, successful business, then by all means, ignore us, ignore everybody, ignore Jack Robinson, and continue laughing all the way to the bank. But they've been running a business that hemorrhages money for not years, but now decades. And a lot of the athletes are disgruntled. Employees, you've spoken to them, I've spoken to them, are not thrilled. And their core audience is frustrated event after event and vocally publicizing that. And so it's bizarre to double down and to take umbrage with anybody, with any critics that present any sort of criticism or insights or whatever, to take umbrage with them just seems, it's freaking bizarre to me. I don't, at this point.
I don't get it. And I'm happy, like, whatever. Like, if they really are going to win the game, then win.
Yeah.
Go
yeah,
win.
Win.
I'll win.
I will eat crow. Oh, if they run a contest in the pool and Lucas Vicente wins it and it's wildly entertaining, I will eat crow. But
especially if he's a skimboarder though, or anything other than a standard surfer, how do you not, honestly, let's go back here real quick. You have like basically 15 wild cards
to fill. How do you not get wakeboarders in there?
I have no idea. It was a wakeboarding pool originally, right? Or water ski?
It was a water ski pool. And how do you not let them back in? Get a stinking water skier in there to see, hey, we put a wave in here, but let's see if you can water ski this thing better. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Your audio just got so much cleaner when you adjusted your phone.
Oh, I'm really trying to find the perfect.
It's perfect now. Your audio was like muffled before, like it was sitting on a pillow or something.
Okay.
Should we do barrel or not?
Yes.
Let's forget about commercials. Let's give them a clean show today.
Everybody. You don't even
everybody.
Need to be a subscriber.
Well, the subscribers might win a two happy, but everybody gets a clean show with no commercials.
Okay.
All right. Since you're on vacation, barrel or not, wearing a Speedo.
Oh, Ryan Miller has made me fall in love with the Speedo again. And I'm going to say full on barrel. If you're not doing it ironically, if that's
he's doing
your
it
kid,
ironically,
he is, but I feel he's pushed it so far where I feel I've done that in my life with certain things, pushing irony to the point where it backs around to, this is just me, where I think now the Speedo is Ryan Miller, right? Like, you can do something ironically until it becomes you. I feel the Speedo is Ryan Miller. Likewise, I feel that if you're going to rock one, as long as you're not ironic, you cannot be thinking about your Speedo. You have to be rocking your Speedo.
And you have to be European, because there's no way to earnestly rock one unless you're from a country where that's what they had.
Except I feel anybody who's played water polo or swam on a high school swim team, there's a bunch of people out there who have worn Speedos legitimately. If they could just throw that into their resort skis, off they go.
Do you own a Speedo?
I don't. But as a kid, my icon, which may explain a lot about me, was Greg Louganis. The 88 Olympics and 84, Greg Louganis was the greatest athlete that I thought ever existed. And so I had a Speedo back then and would rock it to the lake in Oregon and the beach in Oregon, thinking this is what Greg Louganis wears. And I did it like, I did it exactly like anyone bought a pair of Andy Irons Rising Sun trunks. Like,
no way.
That was my dude. I was wearing a Speedo like Greg Louganis.
Did you have any embarrassment about people being able to see the size of your junk while wearing it?
I mean, I was like probably 12 or 10 or something.
That's so, when you would be most embarrassed.
Yeah, I didn't care about the, I knew like I'm doing something that's very progressive here, but Greg Louganis does it. He's my Michael Jordan.
Firstly, it's crazy to, I've never related to people who idolized Olympians. Maybe it's like the culture I grew up in. There was so many superstar athletes year round that I would see and associate with and that had branded clothing, Michael Jordan or whatever, that when the Olympics came around once every 4 years, it wasn't significant enough to like break through my relationship with Bo Jackson, you know?
Maybe I was a kid who didn't have cable TV. And so the Olympics was like, somehow major. It wasn't major to my parents, but it was major to me. And Greg Louganis was my North Star for a good 8 years.
That is hilarious. I'm going anti and I'm going no barrel. And it goes back to our barrel and off from 2 weeks ago, is that nobody wants to see your dick. Like, women don't want to see it. And by the way, I did take a survey after that podcast about, do women want to see if you're towel changing? Do they want to see your butt or your junk? Nine out of 10 wanted to see butt. Nobody wants to see a dick. And so the same thing goes with the Speedo.
I feel that though, if you wear it right, it's not accentuating. It's like it's the male form in all its glory.
There's no glory. That's my point, is there's no glory in the male form. Nobody wants to see it.
You made me want to revisit my childhood, wearing a Speedo, legitimately.
I think you should. I think you and Jimmy Kane should go to Waco. He'll coach you and film you how to do an air, and you'll be wearing a Speedo.
Done. I'm fully sold, and I need to bring it back unironically because I feel unironic about it, and I wore it unironically as a kid.
You're muffling your microphone again.
Damn it.
You should borrow Ryan Miller's rainbow Speedo since he's your new icon.
I mean, I don't want it to be rain. What I rock was dark American dark blue with the Speedo.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm back.
All right, you have your own brand.
Yep, done. Speedo, come aboard.
All right, barrel or non number two, staying in someone's house when you're on vacation.
Zero barrel.
Zero barrel, dude.
No, never, ever, 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 ever.
We are too old for this.
You get a motel. Like, you get the cheapest motel whatever you can do to avoid that is what you do. You never do that.
Weren't you staying with Travis Rice in Whistler or wherever that was?
Oh yeah, Jackson? Love Travis. Oh yeah, then no problems. That's the
because it's a big enough house.
It's a big enough house, and he's a friend. Wait a second, I got to rethink this.
Yeah, you got to create a qualifier. I'll tell you while you're thinking. We stayed with friends when we were in Florida last week, or whatever that was, 2 weeks ago. No barrel, dude. Like, I don't what they have. I don't like what they have in their fridge. I don't like being on their schedule. I don't like having to socialize when I wake up in the morning. Like, everything about it, it made the whole trip. They're the nicest people, the most accommodating people, all that sort of stuff. And the entire time I was like, I need space.
Okay, so caveat and qualifier here, you basically have to be family, where Travis is basically, or not even, Travis is family, right? Like, so it's like staying with family where it all just, everybody knows each other and it totally works. I would not stay with a friend, only family.
Okay.
Which, yeah, like you have to have deep, deep, deep cut.
Yeah. And square footage is significant. That helps.
Square footage. And yeah, at Travis's, we have our own zone and whatnot. So it all, but exactly. Also, I mean, we're all just like palling around together in the kitchen the whole time, but it's been, you know, a decade now of hanging out. And so it's just like for me and wife a lot longer, where it's just family.
Okay. I accept that answer. I do not accept any other version of a barrel for that answer. I'm saying if you're over the age of 30, maybe even younger,
get a hotel.
Get your own hotel. I don't care what your financial situation is, get your own hotel or don't vacation, because fish and house guests stink after 2 days, let's say.
Yep. It's totally true. Oh man, now I'm worrying about how much I stink.
Dude, the thing is, it's not like nobody would want to stay with you, and it doesn't have to do with you. You know, like you could be the best host ever. It's just, it's too much intimacy for your non-partner or your own children.
Guess what? I'm going to extend an invite to you and Lauren down to Cardiff by the Sea. We got a back room.
We decline.
2 days.
We decline your offer, but thank you. Okay. Barrel. This is not vacation related, but barrel or nah, having your tarot cards read.
Oh, never done it. I'm going to say nah. Nope. I'm going to say barrel.
I'm going to say barrel too.
I'm going to go barrel. I'm going to say it's another weird thing that you can throw in your life that is vaguely amusing. It's like, I'm going to throw tarot cards with, I was barrel on bumper stickers. I'm going to say tarot cards are the bumper stickers of the psychic world.
I agree completely. I would not have guessed that, but yes, I agree. The bizarre thing about it is that there are people who have dedicated their lives to a deck of cards telling the future. That is hilarious to me. I don't mind if that offends any of our listeners. And then secondly, like, I feel no threat. The reason why it's barrel is I feel no threat. If you said this tarot card, hey, David, when you and Lauren come and stay for 2 nights, we have a tarot card reader on Friday night that we're going to have over, I would not be afraid of that. I would not say, oh my God, that's going to open the gateway to hell and this will now be infected in my life. No, it's like, whatever that tarot card reader says, I'm game. Maybe she says I'm going to die tomorrow. Maybe she says I'm going to win the lotto. Let's see.
The thing is, the tarot card reader never says anything negative. I think it's only so if potentially.
What are the cards? The cards can't all be positive. There has to be death card.
No, I think there's a death card. And it's like, oh, you have a lot of strong energy and you've got to go do this thing with this strong energy right now. Yeah, like I don't think anyone ever gets a tarot reading where the tarot reader is like, oh, you're literally getting hit by a car tomorrow.
And no, so because they just fold the cards up. They just go, they read them and then they go, you know what? I forgot I have a hair appointment today. And they put their cards in a nice little box and they walk out of the room.
I cannot wait for a tarot card reader to chime in here
Do you think we have any listeners that are tarot card readers?
For sure. Or one of their wives are. And I can't
Or certainly
wait.
Interested.
Yep. Because I've never once heard of anything that was nothing other than either like a, on its face positive or something was like, oh, you have a lot of, there's a lot of dark stuff in your aura or whatever. I pulled the card of the something, which means there's like black things happening. But what this also means is that you have a lot of powerful energy right now. And it's how you do something with your powerful energy.
All right. I'm putting out feelers right now for any listeners who have any connection to tarot card readers. Let's get an invite for Chaz and I, and let's go do a podcast with a tarot card reader.
Please, please. I'm so there.
Preferably in the Southern California area.
But we'll travel and we'll stay together in your house.
I'll try. Let's do even better. If it's in Puerto Rico or like, where would there be tarot card readers? New Orleans.
New Orleans, you and I staying in their house in New Orleans.
Perfect. Man, disaster waiting to happen. Covering there, Surf though. Ranch live.
Yep. Perfect.
Hey, we went over our 20 minute allotment for the show. So I apologize about that. I'm sure you have family you need to get to.
No, I apologize to the listeners for this being so shoddy, but.
You know what I want to recommend to you? You,
Topo Chico.
You were extolling the virtues of the Topo Chico with a grapefruit twist.
Yes.
We stock three Topo Chicos in the house. I do the grapefruit, Lauren does the lime, and then we just stock the plain just for whatever.
Of course.
She found the best flavor. It's hard to find. It's the twist of tangerine.
Oh my goodness, I'm so there. I'm gonna go hunt them down.
I think it's at Ralph's specifically. It might be Vaughn's. I've checked. Target doesn't have it. Sprouts doesn't have it. But it's either Ralph or Vaughn's. I'll find out and I'll let you know. But the twist of tangerine, and it's not like I prefer tangerine as a fruit. I don't.
It's perfect.
I would prefer a grapefruit or lime as a fruit.
I don't even like it.
No, but in Topo Chico, it's the best Topo Chico.
I'm going to get us a twist of tangerine, specifically twist of tangerine sponsorship.
There you go. If you can't find it, I'll bring you a case as a gift.
Okay.
When we're
in New Orleans. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right. When do you get back from Cabo?
2 days.
Okay, cool. So I'll see you next week.
Fully, yeah, I'll be sober and done with book round 3. So be ready to actually be serious.
All right. We stand with you in solidarity.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
Good luck.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Chaz, until I see you at Album Surfboards next week.
Get barrel.
And don't forget to post your job for free at linkedin.com/surf. That's linkedin.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.